Good evening. It's good to see everyone out tonight. It's always great to have a good morning as we had this morning and to come back and finish the day off worshiping God. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight, if you want to be turning over there. There are some verses we'll be looking at besides that up on the board. That's as good as you get. You'll have to do some work and open your Bibles if you want to read that tonight. Before I get started, I was just thinking about if you, by chance, were not here this morning and you didn't hear Hugh's lesson, I would suggest that you go find that and listen to it. It was excellent. Very good. Only one thing about that I was trying to figure out, he said he got half an inch of rain over his place. I don't think I got a drop here. He said rain falls on the just and the unjust. I'm just trying to figure it out. Just trying to figure that out. Don't know the answer yet. Okay, we'll get started. I tell you what, the first 2 weeks of looking at this 1 Corinthians has been very, very interesting to me. I do like these chapter studies. It just makes you look deeper into God's Word and not just the surface of it. They've been some good lessons. I hope that we can get some more from this tonight as well. So we're going to start out and we're going to read the first 9 verses of chapter 3. And it starts out, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, for I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Excuse me. Okay, before we discuss any of this, I want to read Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16. The writer here says, "These 6 things the Lord hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." That's the one we're going to look at tonight. "And one who sows discord among the brethren." You see, as this all started out, as we had the introduction, as Jacob gave the introduction, he mentioned that the church located in that city there, in Corinth, was just like we are. They were human beings just like we are. And they had troubles just like we do. They had their ups, they had their downs, all those things. One thing they had here, though, that was throughout this chapter is about sowing discord among the brethren. And so we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. What really causes division? It's really giving into the flesh, if you look at it. You know, the Christian life's not an easy one. This morning when Matthew prayed, he talked about, you know, people have sickness, people have death in their family, and then there's sin to deal with. Those are all 3 things that we all can relate to because we all experience those. If you live on this earth, you're going to experience all of that. And sin is a big one. It's a 3-letter word, but it's a big word that we all have to deal with on a daily basis and try to fight that. So the Christian life is not an easy one, and God never said it was going to be easy. You know, you hear, not to pick on TV preachers, but I will, I guess, a little bit, because you know, if you just give me this much money, life's going to be a bed full of roses. You know, you're going to get this much back, and on it goes. That's not the way it works. Life doesn't work that way. We know that. And you think everybody else would know that. But it's kind of like, you know, I always bring up my work, but I'm there 5 days a week out of the week. We have fraud all the time. Fraud, fraud, fraud. And these same people keep getting frauded. You know, you think, if they fell for it once, they won't fall for it again. And then they come in, and it's the same story once again, just a different person that they were talking to. They don't ever seem to learn their lesson. As a Christian, maybe you can relate to this. It's not an easy life. It's a wonderful life. You can't have a better life. But it's kind of like, you know, a salmon swims upstream. It'd be easier just to swim downstream, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be a lot easier. But we have to swim upstream just like that salmon does. But the reward is great when we get there. But it's not always an easy life. The Christian's life takes us in a different direction than what the world wants. They think, people in the world think that we're weird, we're crazy, you know, why would you be on a beautiful evening like tonight, why would you be inside a building when you could be outside where the sun's shining, you could be mowing the lawn or whatever. But you're here because you want to know more about God. This earth is just a moment. We're not going to be here forever. Eternity is going to be forever. Where are we going to spend it? That's the key. Well, when we think of worldliness, or when I think of worldliness, I think of things like drinking, doing drugs, committing fornication, things like that. Those are bad things. Those are terrible things. And those things are against what God wants us to do. But there are other things that are worldly too. Little things that creep into our congregations sometime that cause these divisions that we just started talking about. A lot of times we look to people that are popular, people that that are well known in our community, neighbors, co-workers, whatever it may be. We look to them for guidance, for help in living our lives. But if they don't know God themselves, then we're looking at the wrong people. And we need to realize who we need to look at. And that's why, you know, when we come together, it's a great thing, because we all have things in common, and we can talk to one another. Just like after the service is here in a little while, we'll have a meal together, and we can talk about things. And it's a great thing. But the Corinthians were falling to pressures and enticements of their own flesh. They were being worldly, if you would. Do you or I ever, are we ever worldly? Are you ever worldly? Of course, I can't answer that for you, and you can't answer it for me, but you can answer it for yourself. You ever fall in that category? Well, I'll answer it for me out loud. I do. I have. Unfortunately, but I don't need to. We hear the phrase, well, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. That's a good phrase, but just saying that is not enough. You know, this is what you got to look at to figure it out, the roadmap to success, if you would. So in Romans 7:18, Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. And then in Romans 8:8, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If we're in the flesh, we can't please God. We want to please God, don't we? Sure we do. We wouldn't be here tonight if we didn't want to please God. Some churches only preach things that their members want to hear, so that they'll feel better about themselves. I like to feel good about myself. I don't like to feel bad about myself. But it's kind of like when James Ludeke was here preaching our meeting. You remember on one night he preached about hell. Well, that's not a very pleasant thing to hear about. We don't like to think about that. We don't like to talk about that. But why do we talk about that? Why did he preach on that? Because it's a reality. And we know we're going to one of two places, and it's going to be heaven or hell. There's not a purgatory. You're going to one or the other. And so we preach things like this, just like your children. You don't enjoy getting on to your children. You don't enjoy giving them a spanking, saying something to them when they so an example. My son, I'd have to give him some spankings. My daughter didn't give too many to. She just cratered when I said something to her. You know, she just fell to pieces like a wilted petunia or something. But nonetheless, you don't enjoy seeing your kids hurt or cry. But you discipline them because they need it to know how to act. And so it's no different with God. He does that with us. So he said, you're just, you know, should we just be satisfied with milk? Because that's what he says they were doing here. He said, you know, you're on milk and you're still on milk. We all know that I've got my newest grandchild. Robin was with her a few weeks ago, and she's a pretty big girl, and she's got a hefty appetite, and the milk is not satisfying her any longer. She needs something else. She needs some solid food. And the same thing with us. We've got to have more than milk to grow as a Christian. We've got to have some meat in our life. So he was getting on to these folks here. But he wasn't saying that you're not still a Christian. You're not still because he said he called them brethren. He wouldn't call them brethren if they'd been outcast or if he had discommunicated them or whatever. He wouldn't have called them brethren, but he still called them brethren or brothers. And so he's just trying to say, hey, look, you're immature. We've got to do something about this immaturity. But along with this milk and meat thing, let's look over to Hebrews chapter 5, starting verse 11. The Hebrew writer talks about this. He says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So this is another example of milk is good for a little while, but you got to move on in life if you're going to grow as a Christian. You and I need to ask ourselves tonight, and think about it. Think about your life and think about, I know you can't think exactly back to April 21st of 2023, but think about where you were a year ago on your spiritual walk. Are you stronger now than you were then? Are you the same? Are you weaker? Again, that's a question that you'll need to answer and I'll need to answer. But we should be stronger, shouldn't we? We should be. But coming up here for 3 hours a week isn't going to hack it for me or you. I mean, that's wonderful. And I'm glad we meet. But if we only look at the Word of God 3 hours a week, then we need to think about changing some things. Because we're not going to get out of that milk stage if we don't do that. So division, it's an ugly word. What is it really? It's a lack of forgiveness. It's pride is a cause of it sometimes. Churches split over divisions. I looked up a few things on the internet. You know, that's got to be true because it was on the internet. I looked it up. But these things I'm going to read you are ridiculous. But these are true things that happen. And why churches have division, why they split, And it's ridiculous, some of these things I read. So there was one case where a church split up because they were arguing over whether there should be a clock in the auditorium or not. Some wanted it, some didn't. They split over that. So there was another instance where there was an issue over what color filing cabinet they needed for the office. You know, should they purchase a weed eater or should they not? What type of green beans are we going to serve at our luncheons? What, you know, an argument over, is it going to be Folgers coffee or is it going to be Starbucks coffee? Neither one, in my opinion. I have my own coffee I like. But and then, this is the one I think is kind of amusing. Should we have deviled eggs at our church meal? So, you know, it's crazy. But why would people split up over things like that? Because, again, it's worldly. It's worldly. There's no scripture involved. There's nothing doctrinal about that. But people get involved in the world, and if I can't have my way, it's my way or the highway. And that's not the way it works. And I'm thankful we have great leaders here in this congregation because we don't have those issues here. Not that we don't have issues that come up from time to time. I'm sure we do. But these are trivial things. They have nothing to do with our salvation. Why are we arguing over such things as this? Yet churches split over such craziness. The devil enjoys it. He likes it. So we expect a baby to act like a baby. But you know, when you get 20 years old, you know, you don't expect someone to act like that anymore. You really don't. But jealousy is also a severe form of selfishness or can cause divisions as well. He talks about people talking about Paul and Apollos. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. Reminds me of another little story. So when I was in Loveland, the church I attended, they had a preacher, a hired preacher that spoke. And he was a great man. His name was Wayne, and he was one of the best men I've ever known. And he was an awesome guy. And he was well thought of in the community. Everybody in the community, no matter if they went to church there or not, they thought Wayne was just okay because he was just an honest man. He'd tell you his life story. He'd tell you what he did wrong and what he should have done different and all those things. A great man. And a lot of people... He got a lot of people to come to church that weren't going to church anywhere, but they started thinking like these people are. You'd say, well, where do you go to church? And they'd say, oh, I go to Wayne's church. I go to Wayne's church. No, that's not right. That's not right. They weren't going to Wayne's church, but in their eyes they were. That's the way they were thinking. They hadn't studied this Bible to understand more about we can't put our faith in a man. We're all human. We all make mistakes. God's the only one, and Jesus is the only one that can save us. Not a man. Paul and Apollos were servants. They were just deliverers of the word. We're not going to sing another song, but I want you to turn over to 655 in your songbooks. We sing this song pretty often. It's a newer song, a great song. This is just what we're supposed to be. At 655, it's titled Instruments of Your Peace. And I'm going to read this. It says, Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease. When we are your instruments of peace... Where there is hatred, we will show his love. Where there is injury, we will never judge. Where there is striving, we will speak his peace. To the people crying for release, we will be his instruments of peace. Where there is blindness, we will pray for sight. Where there is darkness, we will shine his light. Where there is sadness, we will bear their grief. To the millions crying for release, we will be his instruments of peace. That's what we want to be. That's what we need to be. That's what these guys were doing. They were spreading God's word And they weren't doing it to have notoriety. They weren't doing that at all. But yet people were putting their faith in them, which wasn't right. We're equal. We're all equal in God's sight. There's no ranking. There's no, you know, some denominations, there's these rankings. You know, you have different, and I don't know all of them. I'm not going to try to even get into that. But there's rankings in their church. You know, you start out here and you're here and here, like a totem pole or whatever. There's no rankings in church. There's not. Yes, we have elders. Yes, we have deacons. They have their jobs that they do. But there's no ranking. They're men, and their wives are women, just like all of us. We are all in this together. We're equal in God's sight. It's just like if I said, well, my hands are really more important than my feet. Well, no, they're not, because they both have something that they do for me. I walk on my feet, and I do other things with my hands. They're two different parts of my body, but one's just as important as the other. Turn over to Matthew chapter 20. Interesting little parable here that Jesus gave. It kind of puts the point across how we're all equal. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 20 of Matthew, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with his laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing idle here all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner." Can you imagine that they would complain about that? "Saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, the first last, for many are called, but few chosen." So we see from that parable that Jesus gave that we're all equal in God's sight. If I've been a Christian for 50 years and someone over here tonight is baptized and they become a Christian, don't they have as much of a right to eternity as I do? Of course they do. Yeah, but I've been a Christian longer than they have. So, good that you have been, but we're all equal in God's sight. It kind of goes back to what Brent gave us a lesson a few weeks ago about a higher calling. We as Christians have a higher calling. We need to look at things a little differently than the world does. We all have different jobs, different talent. But as a farmer, and many of you are here in farmers, I'm not, but I do know this, that you get your ground, your land ready, you plant your seed, you water it. If you don't have irrigation, you wait for the rain and it irrigates the land. And your cotton plant or your wheat or whatever it is you have planted comes up. Did you make it grow? No. You didn't. You did the work. You got it all ready. You prepared it. But God gave the increase. He's the one that made it grow. We're blessed that God gives us the opportunity to work with Him. And we can't be successful without Him. So He has to be the big part of it. But we are His instruments of peace, if you would. Now let's look at verse 10 to 17. He says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Our usefulness and effectiveness are purely by God's grace. We see this over a few more pages over in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, where Paul says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So Paul knew the status as a worker in God's field, or God's buildings, if you would, was based on God's undeserved favor, not his own merit. And that's what we should realize as well. So many good lessons that Paul gives us throughout the Bible. But again, this idea of division still plagued this church in Corinth. And Paul talks about the idea of building, and it was about building up people and not about physical buildings. Where they met didn't matter. Where we meet tonight, this is a great place. It's nice. It's out of the weather. It's comfortable, and all that. And I'm glad we have it. But we could be under a tree somewhere if we wanted to be, and it'd be just as good with God as it is here. So people put so much into buildings, and that's another cause of splits in churches. A lot of times is when they have a building project, they have a split because, again, you've got these arguments over the carpet and the paint and all these things. And it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing that you need a building, and because you're outgrowing the one you're in, and you build this new building which will accommodate everyone and hopefully for growth. And then these little things that the devil puts in here that men listen to, and then you don't even need the building. The building you had at the beginning is not even, it's way bigger than you need. And that happens a lot. It shouldn't, but it does. Paul said, I've laid the foundation. I remember another lesson here a while back that Bob gave as he was building his house. He said, you know, I may be away at certain times when this building project's going on, but he says, the day that they lay the foundation is the day I'm going to be there. I want to be there. Because that's the most important part of the house, how that house is going to sit, how it's going to stand, endure the time that we have here on earth. He wanted to be there, and it's no different here. The foundation, of course, that we should be looking at is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. If you look at any others, they're going to fail. They're going to fail. They will. You know, we sing a song, and you read in the Bible about how a house was built on a rock and it stood, how a house was built on the sand and it went splat, if you would. It's so true. And that's another thing. Man makes this so complicated, but that's a simple story about those houses. But it gets a point across, doesn't it? I mean, it's so simple. And why we make it difficult is beyond me. Jesus is a cornerstone. He is where it all starts at and where it ends at. But we have this sin problem. They had this sin problem. We've got to know who Jesus is. We've got to know who that cornerstone is if we're going to take care of this sin in our life. In John 8:24, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Jesus is the only way to the Father. In John 14:6, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He's the only way. There's no other name under heaven whereby we are saved. Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Every Christian must be created in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 2:10, that verse says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, the next thing he talks about here, he talks about gold and silver, precious stones or precious metals, if you would. And from what I could gather, this is kind of referring to, it represents what sound, correct doctrine would be. But you have other things such as wood, straw, hay, which is not sound doctrine. It's false doctrine, and it won't hold up. For instance, if I build a house with bricks, it's probably going to stand. If I build a house with straw, well, you know what's going to happen there. It's not going to stand very long. So same thing. That's very clear what he's talking about here. But as a human, we like flashy things, don't we? We like that. That's what someone else was talking about here a while back, maybe last week. So many times worship these days with people is about entertainment. It's entertainment. How many lights can we have? What kind of band can we get to come? You know, what are we going to raffle off, you know, the big screen TV or whatever to get people to come? That is not going to work. It doesn't work. And that's not why we come to worship. It's a false doctrine, if you would, to believe like that. We can't do that. If we're a Christian as we should be, if we're following the doctrine as we should be, if we're trying to avoid these division things, this carnality, we're trying to grow up, we're trying to eat meat, then we should bear fruit. We should bear fruit. A few days ago, Robin and I planted some trees, some fruit trees. We did this a few years ago, and I think about 2 weeks they were dead as a doornail. Right now they're still living, so we're doing something better. But anyway, one of these trees already has some fruit on it. Didn't have any when we bought it. It's already got some fruit on it. It's bearing fruit. That's what we've got to do. We've got to bear fruit. We can't be like those first trees that I talked about, and we're just dead in the water. But if we're going to bear fruit, we're going to have to know what the Word of God says. Colossians 1:10, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So we've got to be fruitful. If we do these things, stay away from these false doctrines, do the right things, we can bear fruit. Now he mentions at the end of this little section about the temple. And the temple of God refers to us. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 and following, here the scripture says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." We've got to take care of our temple. We see there that he said if you don't take care of the temple, if anyone defiles the temple, God says he'll destroy that person. So it's very important. In Matthew 18, Jesus was talking here. In verse 6, he said, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So, we don't want to be the cause of someone to stumble. We don't want to be the cause of a division. We don't. Our kids are watching. Your kids are watching. Now, you know that because they'll say something that you said and you thought, wow, I didn't realize I said that. They're listening. And we've got to set the right example. And if we're not setting the right example, and we're not loving our brothers and sisters as we should, and we're trying to cause division over menial things that don't matter at all, they see that. They see that. And they're going to act like mom and dad. Going to do the same thing. So important that we set the good example. In Hebrews 12:15, the Hebrew writer says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And here is the big one that we talk about a lot. And in James chapter 3 and verse 6, and the tongue. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. World of sin, if you would. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. We just have to be so careful about what we do, think, and say. We just have to think about that. But again, if we're in the Word and we're reading these things, it comes much easier. Okay, starting in verse 18, we'll finish up this chapter. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Again, people in Corinth started following their own ideas. That's what led to the whole problem. In Matthew 15:8-9, Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching us doctrines, the commandments of men. We don't want to come just so we can check the box off, do we? That's not why we're here, to check the box off. We're here to worship God. We're here to learn more about Him. We're here to learn to handle these things that we're faced in the world. But much division could be avoided if we look to God's wisdom and not our own. He said worldly wisdom is foolishness to God. We kind of saw some of that this morning in the lesson, didn't we? These things that man just miraculously came up with, and it was in the Bible all along. It's been there forever. And man thought he was so smart that he knew everything. In Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You know, when you get out into the world, and it happens a lot if you go off to college. If you have a professor that's not a Christian, they'll throw all kinds of things out, you know, about how crazy it is, the Bible's not real, and on it goes. We have to be careful about that. We know better than that, but they're smooth talkers. We can't fall for what they're trying to tell us. Paul said we shouldn't boast in other people. There's not a competition in the church. There's no competition. You could dig so deep, much deeper. I've just hit the surfaces of this chapter. It goes a lot deeper than what I've gone through. But what are a few takeaways? What are some takeaways from these 23 verses? Well, one, which we've talked about from the beginning, is we need to grow and mature, don't we? We need to be better, more mature a year from now than we are now, today. We need to be. We can be. We will be if we eat the meat that's in front of us. But if we go back to the milk, then we're going to lose ground. We all have our part to do. We're all equal. We all have our part to do. We're all different. Why are we different? You know, I hear people get up here and I have to think about this because I get caught up in it. I think, man, I wish I could deliver a message like that. Maybe I'll try that. And I'm thinking, that's crazy because I'm me. I'm not that person. I can't be them. I can only be who I am. But I have a place. We're all different. And we're different because God made us that way. We all have a part. Now, we all have a part to do, but this is the kicker. We all have a part to do, but we need to do it. We need to do it. We can't think, oh, that's my part. I could do that. But I'll do that another day. I'll do that another time. It never happens if that's our attitude. We need to do it. You all know what your part, or most of you do, know what your part is. If you're just a young Christian, you may not know yet, but you'll figure it out. But we all have our part, and we need to do it. And most importantly is that we need a strong foundation that's not going to crumble underneath us, and that's Jesus. And without Him, we might as well not be here tonight. We're just up here for nothing if Jesus isn't our foundation. But we're not perfect, are we? We're just not. That's why Jesus died. He died because we weren't perfect. Now, that's not to say that we're just say, well, I'll go out and do what I want to and God will forgive me, because it doesn't work that way either. But we all fall short. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all do, daily. I've often thought, if I could just go one day, just one day without a sin, one day, I never have made it. Somewhere down the line, I goof up. Somewhere, you know, not intentionally, but it happens. Thank God that we do have Jesus as our foundation. Thank God that He died for us. And you can have that too if you don't have it tonight. You can have what Jesus offers you. Because again, you hear this nearly every time someone comes up here. We're not guaranteed of tomorrow. We're not guaranteed of the next hour, the next 5 minutes. Not to scare anybody. It's just a fact of life that we're not going to be around forever. Just like this morning, you know, you can, if you're all upset about the global warming, get over it, because you don't need to worry about global warming. God's taking care of everything. Yeah, things are going to run out. The sun's going to quit shining one of these days, but it's not because the Creator didn't create it the right way. It's because when it quits, He's going to say that's the end. Well, I hope you got a little bit out of this. I got a lot out of it. I learned a lot of lessons that I got out of it. Hope I can hold up to the things I've said tonight. But we always offer an invitation. And we're going to do that again tonight, because we never know the hearts. You may have been studying. You may know what you want to do to become a child of God. This would be a good night to do it. And if you're still wondering about it, well, study with the person you're studying with, or talk to somebody about it tonight. It'd be a good night to do that as well. And then we struggle. Like I said, we sin. We get caught up in it. We got caught up in the world sometimes. And sometimes we need prayers of our brothers and sisters. And that's a good thing about this is that we don't go out and say, oh, you know, so-and-so came forward and you can't believe they did this and they did that. We don't do that. We're here to help you. We're all equal. We've all been in that boat before. And we all need prayers at times, no matter who we are. So there's been a song selected. If you have any needs, come forward and sit on the front pews as we stand and sing.